hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you'll be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you'll never get out until you've paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of unchastity causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you've heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by the earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. A girl comes to see me. She is upset. She feels wronged. She is perhaps, to some extent, wronged. But she is a woman of faith. I gently mention that Christianity is about forgiveness, and she retorts that she used to think like that, but this is different, and she's read lots of good counselors, Christian ones, in fact, who agree with her that by voicing her concerns and her wrongs, she is preventing it happening to another person. Now, don't get me wrong. In certain cases, extreme cases, such as rape or abuse, I 100% agree with this statement. Hers is not, however, such a case. Someone who has a perceived wrong, who feels left out of the group. I know both sides. I know they met and spoke with her and tried to come to an agreement, but she continues to feel this hurt. I try to use a greater wrong from my own personal life, which I've not thought about, because actually I, thanks to God's grace, managed to forgive that person and move on. And actually forgiveness helps us to do that, stop being victims and move on. But she simply thinks that my case was worse and that I was awful to let it go. She misses the point. Finally, and perhaps I should have used it first, I quote these few lines from the verses of Matthew we've heard today. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors and sinners do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. She isn't ready to accept this. She goes on again about wise counselors. She knows who she thinks tell her she should fight on, that she shouldn't accept the outcome of her situation. Hers is not a serious matter. The situation is sad, but threatens no one. But her own sense of justice, she cannot forgive or let go, makes me sad for her. She can't even see that perhaps she's in the wrong too, and that's my point. We are all in an area, an era of litigation. Jesus, just in his time, unforgiveness rages on. The need to be in the right or the wronged one is still there, just as it was described in these passages. It's in church and communities, and they're all full of it. The impossibility of what Jesus asks is not missed on his listeners. The title today, Rereading the Bible, he's going through all the commandments they know so well, and he's making them even harder in the hearer's eyes. And yet Jesus says this is necessary, this is the point. The commandments were written to encourage compassion and love, but love goes further than that. I am sure many of them asked, as we still do today, but how can we be perfect as God is perfect? It's impossible. The real point of the passage, I suppose, is we can't. But we can try to perfect our forgiveness and our love by embracing God and letting his heart grow in ours. It isn't about the outward law, not murdering, not committing adultery, not taking more revenge than is necessary, i.e. the eye for the eye, stopping you wiping out the neighborhood. It is about changing your heart to be like God, so that you see your enemy as also God's child. In Roman times, there was a real risk of being asked to give a Roman soldier your cloak or to walk with him for a mile with his bags. In fact, it was a law that you just had to take. And all of those people in Occupy Palestine knew this. To suggest to go 2 miles with someone else's heavy bags was in fact unthinkable and beyond the law of the Romans. So Jesus is radical with both common law of the land and religious law. Helping the soldier is like helping a brother, because God sees us all as his family, no distinctions. Going on to recite these 10 commandments, he asks the impossible, to tear out your eye if you've even got a lustful thought for another person. It was a common practice, in fact, of rabbis of the day to exaggerate to make a point. So I can assure you, he isn't expecting you to tear out your eye if you do have a lustful thought about another person. But the point is, no one is justified before God. Everyone is a sinner. Even if we outwardly obey every law, once we realize this and come to God in a spirit of humility, his action working through us, drawing us into his love and forgiveness can begin. We can only forgive our enemies if we too know we are sinners, that we have sinned, that we are sometimes selfish or in the wrong. We can only truly open up to God if we know that we are not God, that obeying rules won't make God love us more or less, but that trying to follow Jesus and love radically as he did will draw us closer to God, because love is who God is. I felt sorry for the girl who visited me because she was so sure of her own righteousness. She wasn't able to see that those around her were trying to accommodate her needs, and so she wasn't able to forgive. She was stuck in her bubble of hurt. Sadly, she still is. Sometimes God calls us to radically forgive those around us who have wronged us. This whole passage reminds us of that. The ultimate sacrifice of God is not just going the extra mile, but dying on a cross. And even as the nails were hammered into his hands, crying out, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." This is the level of perfection that Jesus is talking about. It's impossible for us without his help. The perfect love that casts out fear. The perfect love that isn't afraid of appearing foolish, of reaching out to the enemy, of going the extra mile. Only Christ can give us such limitless love through his Holy Spirit. The Pharisees of Jesus' day were so obsessed by the law, they had forgotten compassion, love, kindness. They used the law to their advantage to feel better than others, and Christ called them whitewashed tombs. Inside, the bones are rotten, but outwardly they appeared to be good. We too are challenged by this today. It's not enough to come to church, to do our best, to be nice people. God wants our hearts for himself. He wants us to realize we are a group of sinners and not perfect people meeting together, which is why communion is at the heart of worship every week. Why? Because it reminds us of God's love, sacrificial love for us. The love that has no limits. The perfect love that casts out fear. The love that is always willing and ready to forgive and give everything for us. And by forgive, I don't mean condone. I don't mean saying, it doesn't matter if I was hurt. It does matter, but I'm letting it go into God's hands. I'm letting God in, the sinless one, to take control of my heart and my life. And I'm not letting fear, hate, despair, pity separate me from him anymore. I'm letting his perfect sacrifice once and for all on the cross to be enough for me. His giving of himself to replace the old law with a new radical one that goes beyond just obeying, because we must, but because we are loved and needed and wanted, and God's love for us compels us to do our best. Be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Our Father in heaven, he is our Father. God is desiring us to love him in this unconditional, hope-filled way, and in return, he will fill us with his unconditional, everlasting love for the whole world. I know this side of heaven, that can't happen fully, but celebrating communion week on week reminds us that God enters into our hearts through the bread and wine representing his body and blood and transforms us until he comes again in glory. And until then, we strive to be perfect, perfect in forgiveness, love and understanding, not in who we are. God loves us just as we are, but perfect in trying to be like God to the world, his light, not in our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit God gives us, in his strength as his children, daring to call him Father. This challenge is a daily one. We are all sinners, and as I movingly heard recently, Paul and Peter were perhaps great leaders because they were both so aware of their own sinfulness. The story of Peter denying God 3 times was pointed out to me that he must have told it himself, No one else was there. What humility it was to admit, and yet what grace of Christ to reaffirm Peter three times. Paul too said, "When I am weak, then am I strong." These words remind us that he never resolved the thorn in his side, and yet God used him despite it, or perhaps because of it more greatly. God hasn't chosen a perfect people. It is Christ living in us that makes us perfect. It is once we grasp our own sinfulness, our need for God, that we can truly grow in his love and his forgiveness, his grace, when it goes on beyond simply the rules, but gets behind the motive. And this is what Jesus is pushing them to realize in our Matthew passage, going through an eye for an eye. No, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. How much better to offer our hurts and offenses today to God? Those things we are all still holding on to right now, the indignation of some small hurt or large one. Think of the freedom of just letting it go and leaving it at the cross of Christ and celebrating truly and deeply communion, his sacrifice that allows you to let it go. In an era of litigation, we have much to learn about settling out of court, about choosing not to be offended, about believing the other's story, about forgiving those who have really hurt us, about giving second, third, or even fourth chances. Because God has forgiven us. God is the God of forgiveness. He doesn't expect us to enter back into dangerous situations, but he does expect us to move on with our lives by letting go and forgiving what happened in the past and seeking a new future in and through him. And this is what our communion celebrates. The Lord's Prayer is a daily prayer, partly because it reminds us, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The challenge is there, this radical love. We are called into community of forgiveness that heals and doesn't divide. We are called to let past hurts go, to move forward together, imperfect people made perfect through Christ, who allows, dares us to call him Father, our Father. He shows us the way so we can show one another and the world the same. A way I hope and pray the girl who came to see me will one day grasp for herself. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen.